Spending a little bit of time this morning on K1 with U.S. Senator James Lankford, and most recently breaking news from earlier, the FBI investigation is complete, and I understand the Senate has one, count them, one copy of that report.
So as interesting as it is, that's normal for an FBI report. Anytime an FBI does a background investigation, that is not intended to be a public document. That's a very private set of conversations with quite a few people that they'll go to folks and say, hey, this will be kept confidential. We want to be able to get this information from you so that the Senate will have access to your opinions. This has been done six times on Brett Kavanaugh on a very large scale. This time it was confined to anyone who is a witness or would be someone to be able to testify about this issue about sexual assault. They've interviewed numerous people from his college days in the past and all six of the previous background checks and have found no evidence of any kind of sexual assault or not being able to handle alcohol. But this time is another one, and we'll get a chance to be able to go through it. I'll find time to be able to get there today, and we'll go through those documents.
I know you have been on the record saying that at least as of the last time you made a public statement that you tended to believe the judge, and while something may or may not have happened to Ms. Ford, it doesn't appear as though Judge Kavanaugh was involved. Is that a correct statement?
It does seem like this is a total anomaly in his history, and I know there have been lots of accusations now from people, but one by one those accusations have been investigated, and people have either recanted and said, I made it up, or they are individuals saying, hey, I'm really not sure who it was. I think it might have been him, but I don't know. And then we go all the way back to Dr. Ford. I have no reason to doubt Dr. Ford and what she's saying if something traumatic happened to her. The challenge is, was that Brett Kavanaugh? She's already admitted that she was drinking that night as well, and so trying to be able to figure out, is this the same person that we have literally 65 people that went to school with or around Brett Kavanaugh that are females that said never saw anything like that from him. All the girls that he dated from high school and college and his early life in his 20s have all stepped forward and said, I never saw anything like that from him. So this is either a total anomaly or Dr. Ford is remembering from that very traumatic experience a different person. But one way or the other, this is going to be very difficult to be able to unwind.
People who observe the legal community would say that this type of charge is among the easiest to make in that there's no stolen funds, there's no property damage, very little physical evidence, and also the most difficult charge to refute, for those same reasons.
Yeah, it is, and it's typically what they would call a he said, she said, but the problem with this particular time is it's actually a he said, she said, they said. Because Dr. Ford named three other people that were there at the same time and said could corroborate her story. All three of those folks have been interviewed. I'll look forward to seeing additional interviews that they had from the FBI to be able to see if there's any additional information. But so far, all three of those folks have gone under oath to say, I don't remember anything like that happening. And so that makes it much tougher to be able to look at it. Now, I understand this is not just an issue about a possible crime that happened 35, 36 years ago, but this is a political issue. And my concern has been all the way through this is that for the sake of the politics and the people that disagree with Brett Kavanaugh and his perspective on the Constitution, that somehow this is find some way to be able to destroy him personally or to damage him so much that he's not an effective Supreme Court justice. That's been my biggest concern as we go through this because it drags the country through quite a bit. Even through the normal protocols that would happen in an investigation like this. And it's not unusual to have some kind of accusation that would come up during a background check or during a nomination process. And the way it's handled is if that information comes, it's turned over to the FBI early. They go through an extensive background check. That's done in a confidential meeting with the nominee. And then you try to clear the air on that, or they step away and resign, one or the other, but you do that early. That could have happened this time. Dianne Feinstein got the information the 30th of July, called her staff called her, they talked and visited, her staff then got back to her in early August and said, you need to get an attorney, here's the attorney that we would recommend, you need to get a lie detector test, here's where we would suggest you go. They set all of this up but held on to the information, didn't turn it over to the FBI, didn't bring it up in confidential meetings, didn't do it in questions for the record, didn't bring it up in the public testimony, wait until 2 days before the final vote, and then dropped it out at that point. That's been some of the frustrations that America has been drugged through this, when we could have handled this issue in a way just as thoroughly, but would honor Dr. Ford a lot more.
And I think just from an observer's point of view, again, had this come out early, the nation could have had a much more informed conversation rather than seemingly the last minute with now a vote set sometime this weekend.
It is. The vote is set at this point for tomorrow on Friday morning. That'll be the initial, what's called a cloture motion. That's the procedural motion to be able to move forward to see if there are 51 votes ready to be able to move it forward. And then after that, there'll be another final passage vote if he passes that first cloture vote. And it's still unknown. There are still three Republicans and two Democrats that have not stated how they're going to vote at this point. I would assume they're going to read through the FBI report today, and then they'll be able to make their decision at the end of that time.
It's a fair assumption to make that the email boxes and voicemail boxes of nearly every senator have probably been, I'll say, fuller than usual with constituents commenting one way or the other on this case. Is that a fair statement?
That is a very fair statement. We've had thousands of people that have called us, both individuals on both sides of it, saying that Brett Kavanaugh is being railroaded and this is not fair to him, that he needs to have innocence until proven guilty. We have individuals that have called in that have said, you need to always believe the accuser. You've got to stand on the side of the accuser. We've had folks from in-state and out-of-state. I've had guys that have called and our office that have said, I was falsely accused at some point. I know how he feels. We've had every level of emotion, and that's been the difficult thing with this, is we're trying to be able to get to the facts when a lot of people have experienced sexual assault or accusations, and it's very, very personal to them to say, I was either believed or not believed, and so they carry that into this conversation, which I completely understand and can respect that. But the difficulty is I have to be able to go through not what has happened to someone else, but what has happened in this situation. Is this the truth of what actually happened, or did it not happen? And if it did not happen, then why is it scarring a person that could potentially step onto the Supreme Court?
I think America was riveted to their Facebook accounts or to a video of some place Tuesday of last week watching the proceedings in the Senate hearing, and probably one of the most watched Senate hearings probably since the McCarthy era.
That is entirely likely, and the hard part is it does remind you somewhat of the McCarthy era, because there were a lot of accusations that were flown around with being very, very difficult to be able to prove or disprove. And so you walk through it. And so the question became, in my gut, I feel one is credible or one is not credible, and that often your gut feeling ended up being whatever your political disposition was. The challenge is, in American law, we have innocence until proven guilty, and we've got to be able to draw witnesses into this and to be able to have a conversation about how do we get to the facts on it to be able to make sure that we honor this.
Is the cloture vote a straight up and down vote with very little discussion, commenting by the senators, or is it more of a legislative where you can explain your reasons for your vote and then finally say yes or no?
So that there will be debate on the floor. There will be individuals that will step up and be able to debate, but the actual vote itself will be just a live vote where people will just orally state yes or no on the question. But there will be quite a bit of debate, and I would expect quite a bit of drama around it, with people asking for motions to adjourn or motions to postpone, or there'll be all of those things that are drama around it. But we'll have to just wait and see how the actual vote comes down.
Well, Senator, thank you so much for your time. It is a busy time in D.C., and one way or the other, I hope that the country can move past this and that future nominations can not have the unpleasant taste of the Kavanaugh hearings still in their mouth next time.
Yeah, we would hope that this is not a precedent for any kind of future hearings of how hearings could be done. Is if you bring an accusation, then you can shut down someone based on the accusation. And I would hope this doesn't deter good people from still applying for any office of any political party, because this can set a very bad precedent in the days ahead.
Senator Lankford with us this morning on AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1.